Welcome everybody to JK Sports Podcast. I'm Juan.
And I am Kyle.
And happy podcast day to everybody. We're here. It's football's still on. The leaves are changing.
The not weather. Here. Not here.
Somewhere.
Somewhere.
The weather's changing a little bit. It was in Florida, it was the mid 50s a couple mornings this week.
And stormy today.
Stormy today?
I had a tree fall down in my backyard.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's okay.
Did you get your axe out and chainsaw?
I borrowed a buddy's chainsaw and tried to take it down, cut, you know, like half of it, just enough to where it would fall very gracefully into our yard.
Nice.
When a storm came. And it did exactly what I wanted it to do.
So no injuries, like didn't fall on a trampoline or
no,
like
it was close to the
thing.
Trampoline. The kids weren't out there, thank goodness.
Did you have safety goggles on with the chainsaw?
I had sunglasses on.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Gotta protect those eyes.
Yeah.
Safety first.
That's right. Juan, I'm impressed. We've got the dual screens up tonight.
We're stepping it up.
We're living the casual sports fan's dream right now.
All we need is a microphone at some point to enhance this. The podcast quality.
We'll get there. We need some better sponsors. The ones that we've had thus far just aren't really supporting the dream.
They're not buying in. But you know what? That's not going to stop me from the grind of trying to be the best podcast.
That's right. We are. In my mind, we are the best sports podcast around.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just another hurdle that we're going to have to go through.
Right.
Before we put our name in the top.
That's right. That's right. Number one soon.
All right, Kyle. So it's football season. We're in week 9, I think, of college football. Week 9. There's been 7 games played for the Gators. And we just had a bye week.
Yeah.
Right?
We needed it.
You know what?
I needed it.
Yeah, we all did. You know, we talked right before the LSU game, and that didn't turn out like we wanted it. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, why don't we talk about bye week and what we did? I'll tell you, you know, I had a great bye week. I didn't even really watch any college football. You know, the team had a bye week. I took a bye week as a fan.
Yeah.
Right? I spent time with family, went and had some lunch at new places, went and watched a little Gator baseball game.
Right.
With the family, you know.
Awesome. New stadium.
New stadium, great seats, you know. Had a foul ball almost like hit me.
Really?
It was crazy.
Did you catch it?
No. It was just coming. We were on the first base side, and it popped up like right above us. And you're like just looking at it like this thing is coming down, you know. And you're like, oh, my gosh, it's coming like right on us. Had to like, you know, cover my son. It's like, this is going to hit his head. Right. Everybody's like, head down, what's going on? And
right.
It hit a couple rows in front of us, like on the top of the dugout, and then bounced up.
So well, I'm happy to hear everybody's safe.
Everybody's safe, but, you know, a little, get the juices flowing, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. You need that in baseball games every now and then.
Yeah, so it was good. It was relaxing, you know, did a little fall festival. Local fall festival around town. I mean, it was just a nice, relaxed bye week. Didn't, you know, checked in on a couple scores here and there, but
right.
You know, Miami won. Not that I care about Miami, but they beat NC State, who was
right.
a big,
right.
big team, and
probably the best team in the ACC.
Yeah, and you know what? I love it. You know why I love it? Keep Manny around forever. Right?
Right.
That team is horrible. Like, they're going to win their one or two games. Let's just keep them around.
Right. Keep them subpar.
Keep them subpar.
Yeah.
So, it was a good bye week. Refreshing. And now I'm ready for what's coming next. But
that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Sounds like an ideal family weekend.
Right. Talk to me about your bye week. How did you enjoy it?
Well, I can't say mine was as low-key as yours.
Fair enough.
Had the member guest golf tournament.
Okay.
At our local country club.
Yep.
And it was a pretty intense weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's
competitive juices flowing.
Competitive juices were flowing. Libations.
Okay.
Libations were flowing. it was a good time. Intense, a lot of golf, 3 straight days of golf.
Ooh.
Which was a blast. Uh-huh. Fun.
How'd you guys do?
We did well. We won our flight, which came down to the very last 9 holes. So 5 9-hole matches. And we ended up squeaking it out, going to a playoff, a sudden death playoff, and second place finish.
I mean, that's...
So it was definitely probably the peak of my athletic performance as an adult.
Really?
Oh, for sure. It was, I don't think there was... The feeling that I had competing in a playoff in front of... So you're lined up, you know, they eliminate groups every hole. And then it ended up being a 4-hole playoff that we played in. You have 100 people following you, watching you. You're hitting shots. It's not something you can ever replicate.
Or are they yelling at you as you're hitting
shots? Oh, yeah. They're making bets while you're hitting a putt.
Baba Booey, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we got some of it on video. They're betting you $20 that you'll miss a putt, doing all that. So it's... Again, you just can't get that feeling anywhere else. And as a listener, I know it's a super boring story, but anybody who's ever done anything like it, it is one of the most intense feelings you will ever feel. As an amateur, total, middle age, just non-athlete. It was awesome.
I like it.
Absolutely.
I mean, awesome. You guys made the playoffs, second place. You went to the championship game.
Yeah, we stuck it out. So the last hole, there's only 3 groups left. You're playing down 18 fairway. We ended up tying with 1 group, so it went to a chip-off. So we didn't even lose it in the last playoff hole. It went to a stupid chip, which I think is just horrible, by the way. Let us play, okay?
Keep it going.
Let us play. Don't do some hokey way to end it. But I understand it needed to end at some time.
Sounds like we need new rules next year for the playoff or the sudden death overtime.
Right.
You know, the golf.
Yeah.
So it's got to be something better than the chip off.
I felt bad for my partner. He carried us all weekend. He was the all-star, and I felt bad that it came down to that, and he was let down. Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it's a team. It sounded like it was a team event, though.
It was, and we had a great time. So it was intense. I was oblivious to any college football on Saturday. Totally oblivious.
Yeah.
Pretty much oblivious to all of life outside of what was happening right in front of me. So, but I'm refreshed. I'm here. I'm ready. And I'm ready for the Gator game.
Yeah, you feel it was a good bye week.
It was a good bye week. I'm feeling a little more positive than I think everybody else.
Okay.
Am I saying we're going to beat Georgia? No. But this is the type of game that the Gators will come out and somehow they'll figure out a way to keep it close, I think.
It's always weird. It's Halloween.
It's
right?
Florida,
Halloween
Georgia.
Weekend, Florida, Georgia.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of blowouts in Florida, Georgia. Typically, blowouts really aren't the MO of this game. And I think it would be very fitting if Emery still starts, he still comes out and plays okay, and we keep it close, and, you know, Mullen does his thing and is a great in-game coach, and I don't know, but how awesome would that be if we won?
That would be sweet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, the bye week helped me, you know, recharge, and I got a new perspective on the Gators, right?
Oh,
so
man.
I'm not going to you know, what is it, lament or focus on the LSU loss. There's a lot of bad things that happened there,
yep.
Right? There were some positives. Anthony Richardson looked really good in the second half and so forth, right? But, you know, I'm a fan, Kyle.
Right.
We're just fans here. We're your casual fans. We like the Gators. We root for them.
Right.
We enjoy a nice Saturday of waking up, spending some time watching football and watching the Gators play, right? That we get 12 of those every fall.
That's right.
And so I just realized my job as a fan is like, I'm just a fan. I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to cheer on the team.
Yeah.
And do my job and cheer them on.
In all kinds of weather.
In all kinds of weather. So I'm not going to go into X's and O's. I'm not going to worry about that this team's, you know, lost 3 games, that they've lost to 2 inferior teams, that they should have beat, that the defense can't stop a simple counterplay, you know, like it's been happening. No. My job is to say, show up on Saturday and say, we're beating Georgia because we're the Gators, and that's what happens.
Totally agree.
Right? Whatever happens, happens, but we got to do our job, Kyle, as fans, and cheer them on.
That's right.
We can't be this negative Nancy's and the season's over, the world's over, none of that. We got to be a fan and cheer.
Right. We want what's best for the program. What's best for the program is to win.
That's
or at the very least, look good or decent or not get blown out, right? Is it realistic to assume we're going to win? No, it's not. Georgia is super good. But you want the best for our team regardless, right?
Yeah.
You got to go in. You got to be optimistic. Hope for the best. You know, it worked well. Like, take the Alabama game, for instance.
Yep.
We didn't win, but, you know, we walked away. Okay. Let's rock and roll. Felt great. Same thing here. We could do the same thing.
I mean, Dan Mullen, that is, his ammo has been lose to teams that you shouldn't lose to, but play pretty well and competitive against really good teams that you go into the game like, yeah, we're not going to win that.
Right.
And you either win a couple of those games or you're pretty close and you're in it.
Right. Yep.
So that's the vibe that I'm getting for this game.
I totally agree. I think they're going to be competitive, in all honesty. I really do. And I'm hopeful that they are. I think the most intriguing thing about this game is going to be Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
And, you know, all 98% of Gator fans are wanting him to start. Everybody's ready to give up on Emory. And it's very understandable why. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Either quarterback, you're okay.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm okay with the fact that everybody wants AR in.
Yeah, like, AR-15.
We've seen enough of Emory. He's had enough time in the program. It's time to move on. It's time to play Richardson and let's go. But after having a conversation with a couple of different people, I started to think, okay, is the Georgia game the best time to start him in his very first collegiate, like, if we're starting and playing all game, is that the best one against that defense? I don't know. You're not going to Atlanta, even if you do win. So I've got to think the last four games of the season that in theory should all be easy wins, maybe that's when you start them and let them play and build up the confidence.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you start them at Georgia? Because the season, in essence, all the Gators' goals going into the season are pretty much over.
Right.
Right now, right? We're playing, the Gators are playing right now for the Mayo Bowl, maybe.
Correct.
The Duke Mayo Bowl.
Yep, the Gator Bowl, Citrus like Bowl, that. Or one of those, yep.
So why not just start prepping now, right? I mean, if Richardson plays, this is invaluable experience that he would get in a big-time game, and if he is the future, why not do it now?
Yeah.
Because it also would send the message, if you don't play him, it sends the message of my best player is not going to play. I'm not going to put the best players in because I have a loyalty thing that I want to play my seniors, and Emory's been there for 3-4 years now. He's waited his turn, never complained.
Right.
And, you know, I want to play him.
Right. Yeah, no, I think, to be honest, the sole reason it hasn't happened yet is because if he gets rid of Emory, I say gets rid of him, benches him, Emory's gone. He's transferring. He's out of here.
Yeah.
And I not that I necessarily blame him. You know, you put in your time, whatever. It is what it is. You're going to go somewhere where you can play and be guaranteed the starting spot. But there's no other option outside of that. And meaning there's going to be no backup quarterback. I think that's...
You got Carlos Del Rio. You got John Kitna, Jalen Kitna, John Kitna's son.
Yeah. No, I know. I hear what you're saying. There's physical human beings there.
Yeah.
But, you know, not one that you can win with. So, I don't know. I think you want to try to keep him on the team if you can. So, the longer you let him play, the more likely he stays next year. But I totally agree with you. You got to start building. Let's build towards the future. I can see both sides of it. And to be quite honest, I think everybody's just ready to watch Richardson play a full game. Give him the keys. Let him go, you know?
I mean, the offense looks different with him in there.
Totally different.
You know?
Way more explosive.
And it could be a culture problem if you don't start him, though. Because, you know, if you're not if you're not starting your best player on offense with, like, the quarterback, what other players aren't you starting that should be?
Right.
That you're just not playing.
Yeah.
You know, and that could lead to a lot other bigger problems.
Yep. No, I mean, Mullen has two faults, and one is being too loyal. And, you know, most of the time people think loyalty is a great trait to have. And it is, most of the time. But it can also be a hindrance upon growth as well. And clearly you see that not just with our quarterback situation, but also with the defensive coordinator situation. I mean, good for Grantham and Emery that you've got this guy backing you. I'm sure they understand and appreciate how much he's done for them. But there comes a time when you got to make tough decisions. When you're the leader of any organization, you have to make tough calls. And he has put off making the difficult call, and it's come at the expense of the program as a whole. And that's an issue, and that's a sign of a bad leader. And again, I mean, I think that's applicable towards, you know, business, family, you know, not just sports. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really, really big fault at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you fire Dan
this year. No.
Like, what if he loses another game? Like, not Georgia. So now you're 4-4. And what if he loses, like, a Missouri game or something?
Yeah, I want to make this very, very clear. In no way, shape, or form do I think Mullen should be on the hot seat at UF. I absolutely do. I mean, unless he just... it's a total meltdown the rest of the year. Then you can have that conversation at the end of the year. But I think all these things can be fixed. I think you can fix the quarterback situation pretty easily. And it seems to be very apparent. I think you can fix the defensive coordinator situation very easily at the end of the year. Grantham's contract is up. You know, you replace him with somebody else. The other thing, and, you know, we've talked about it a little bit, but, you know, Mullen just forever and ever, he's just not a recruiter. Right. He's not a big recruiter. He's not going to go after the biggest recruits in Florida and bring them in. He's going to be more of a systems guy, what makes sense for him, and he'll just bring him in and make it work.
Yep.
That's cool. That's fine. But it leaves a very, very small margin of error at that point. If you can get a defensive coordinator that can also recruit, or at least, you know, bring on other coaches that can do that with him, then that can totally change the program. In 1 year, that can change the program.
Yeah. The thing, though, is you can do that in smaller schools that are going to give you time, right, and don't have maybe the highest expectations.
Sure.
As maybe a UF does. You could do that at a Mississippi State, maybe even a NC State, kind of schools like that.
Right.
Right, where you could even say Iowa, right? Like, look at Iowa. They were having a really good year. You know, right. They have two good years every 8 to 10 years.
They're always, you know. Iowa's always the exact same.
Right.
They're always good, not great.
So I think you can do that and then hope that 1 year lightning kind of,
right,
strikes, and you take advantage of it. But I do think that there are some changes that need to be made, especially with the defensive side. And hopefully, you know, Grantham not having an extension already just kind of means, hey, let's just ride this out till right. the end of the year. And figure that out.
Right.
But I do think, so I guess here's a question. Buy or sell that Anthony Richardson starts the game against Georgia.
Sell.
All right, buy or sell that Anthony Richardson has more snaps than Emory Jones against Georgia.
Sell.
Really?
Is it my call or Mullen's call?
No, no. What you think will actually happen, what Dan Mullen will do.
I think it's a sell. Because this is where Mullen is so – he's going to have 2 weeks of prep. He's going to do it with his guy and figure it out. And he'll be able to – I don't want to say figure out Georgia's defense. That's not – they're too good. But he'll figure out how to have some production. And Emory's going to be leading that charge.
So do you think – do you think that last week, I mean, I would be so disappointed, though, if Emory started, just because, I mean, we've seen what Richardson can do. We haven't given him opportunity. I mean, we gave him a full half, and he lit it up against LSU, which, I mean, that's not a big thing. LSU isn't great, but, right. I mean, they beat the Gators, so they obviously they're a lot better.
Right.
I guess... last week, or 2 weeks ago against LSU, was Anthony Richardson coming in and playing in the second half, was that a, I need to give Emory some time, you know, and kind of just, you know, let's relax on the field, right? Let's go with Anthony.
Right.
Or was that a benching? Do you think that's a start of like, you know what, that's a benching. We're finishing with Richardson, and he's going to be the guy in the future? Or was that just a, you know what, Richardson's got the hot hand, we're going to stick with him. Emory will try again next week.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the other, you don't think it was a benching? You think it was like,
no,
Richardson's got the hot
so.
Hand?
No, I don't believe so. I hope it is, but that's not really Mullen's MO. That seems very un-Mullen-like. When you look at his history and how he's coached forever, even at, you know, Florida and with Franks and mm-hmm. with Trask, you know, or as a head coach. I mean, it's just, that's so not his style. So, no, I don't think that was a benching. I think he was terrible that game. I think he's been terrible quite a bit this year. And at some point, you're like, okay, I can't do what I want to do here. We have to make a change, and that's what he did. I would be shocked if Richardson starts. I truthfully would be. I would be excited, on board, behind him, but I would honestly be surprised if he starts.
Yeah, I would love if he starts, just to get the energy. And I feel the players will be around him a lot. He gives the juice to all the guys, and it would just be a new thing. Now, he throws a pick right away, a pick six or a couple, who knows what happens.
He's going to make mistakes. That's okay. Listen, one or two mistakes is not that big of a deal. You know, if you have the big play threat, you can't be more inaccurate than Emory throwing the ball. You're going to have to be able to throw it against Georgia. I don't know, man. So he throws one or two picks. Who cares? I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, look at Tebow in 07, right? Like, they lost four games.
Yeah.
Four or five games on there. He lost to Georgia and LSU and some other teams. He made plenty of mistakes, but those were what he grew from.
Right.
And then the next year had a much better year.
Yeah.
With it. Why can't Richardson grow in a Georgia game and get ready for next year?
I would be okay with it. In an ideal world, he starts and plays the entire game. I think that's the issue, though, that I have with the two quarterback system, is once you go to Richardson, you have to stick with him. You can't do the switch, like bring in Emory for a series. No. Richardson, it's very apparent. He's way better the more he plays. He gets more comfortable. You get more moment. And as with anybody in anything you do, I think if you bring in Emory, that almost, it's still that threat, right? The older guy has been here a long time. If he does well, he's going to keep him in. So then you're always looking over your shoulder. That to me is not the way to do it.
Well, we'll see. Like I said, Kyle, we're just fans. I'm going to show up Saturday,
We're going to show up and cheer.
I'm going to show up and cheer. And I'm going to cheer loud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very.
I think it's going to be a spooky game. I can't expect the Gators to win because Todd Grantham is still the defensive coordinator.
Correct.
I mean, the defense can't stop a tight end, and they have a really good tight end that has had like 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against Kentucky. So I see that happening.
Yeah.
Against the Gators.
Yep.
And who knows? I mean, it'd be funny if Georgia just started with a counterplay.
How could you not? How could you not? But that you bring up such a good point. When everybody in the Southeast United States who is watching the game knows what's coming and knows what can't be stopped, and yet it seems like our D coordinator can't figure it out. And I'm sure there's more to it than just saying, listen, they're killing us with the counter. But do anything. Call a timeout and tell them, we're going to put 9 people in the box and they're going to run a counter.
I will say, I think there could be a culture problem as well, right, with some of the defense and turmoil, where, as you saw, one of the linebackers, Diabate, after the game, you know, his responses were, we did what the coaches told us to do.
Yeah.
You know, we were put in the positions that we were told to do. We just didn't execute it, which is a very nice way of saying, the coach put us in this.
Right.
In this play, and obviously it wasn't working.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's hard to, you got to take that with a grain of salt. You're pissed. You got your butt kicked. Like, I don't know. It's always easier to pass the blame, but I also don't disagree with them. So, you know, I don't know. It's tough. I'm just ready for a new chapter, and I don't want Mullen to be gone. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm ready for a new regime, and I want to see a new defense coordinator. I want to see a new quarterback. We need a refresh. Let's stop.
Control, alt, delete.
We're playing Nintendo. We're taking the game out. We're blowing in the end, sticking it back. I don't know. People who played Nintendo back in the day know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, so here are 2 stats that I know, you know, one of them, and I think probably both of them we've talked about, is that maybe things get a little weird in Jacksonville, right? Number one, I think you sent it out. The Braves are in the World Series.
Correct.
Every time the Braves have been in the World Series, who's won Florida, Georgia?
Florida.
Florida, hey?
That's right.
Can't argue with stats.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Second one. Since 2008, Florida and Georgia have traded 3 games each that they've won in a row.
A three-game streak.
So, you know, Florida won from 08 to 10. 11 to 13 was Georgia. 14 to 16 was, you know, all
right,
of that.
Right.
So the last one to win, 2020, was Florida.
Right.
So that was number one.
Right.
So it's our turn to win 2 in a row.
I'd be okay with that.
Right? Stats. Yeah. Since 2008, Kyle, that's a lot of...
Right.
I know. And then the Braves thing, that's since the 90s.
Yo, yeah. That's right. Right?
I mean...
That's right.
Hard to argue with those kind of stats.
I have a good feeling it's going to be close. I have a good feeling. I'm feeling positive. Feeling positive. Hoping for the best.
That's right. That's right. All right. Anything else on college football you want to touch on with the season? I mean, is there really anything exciting this year about college football? Any team that you're like, oh, yeah.
Any team? No. I mean, I think it's pretty much playing out exactly how we thought it would, with the exception of Clemson. I think Clemson's the sole team that everybody's kind of like, man, didn't really see that coming. For the opposite reason, because they're not great.
Yeah.
That's a little shocking to me. Everything else, no. It's kind of playing out how we see fit.
Oklahoma's getting better, and they benched their preseason Heisman quarterback.
Yeah.
Why can't we do that?
That's right. And that's a tough call. I mean, Spencer Rattler, I think he was the Heisman favorite. He was the odds-on favorite. And, To their credit, they said, sorry, you're not getting it done. I think that's great. I wish we could do the same thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, Oklahoma is the only chance that the Big 12 has of getting a team in.
Yeah, yeah. And the ACC, I don't think, has any shot now, right?
No. So it kind of looks like it could be a Georgia-Alabama that comes in,
perhaps. Which is what I predicted. I mean, Georgia-Alabama...
You're just so right.
I'm just so right. Well, but when you look around the rest of college football, my point wasn't that... it's just there's not a lot of going on. If the
conferences are weak. ACC and Big 12 are weak, right?
ACC and Pac-12.
And Big 12, in a sense. I mean, we thought maybe Texas would be a little bit better, but or Iowa State. Geez.
Right. Come on, Cyclones.
But those conferences, they're so top-heavy that, like, and that's fine. You could argue the SEC is a little bit top-heavy as well, right?
Except the top is so much larger.
But so much better than the others.
Right.
Right? The ACC and Big 12, like Florida, for instance, they've had a top-10 recruiting class every year under Mullen.
Right.
And they're like fifth in the SEC
in
recruiting every year.
Right.
Because you have Alabama, Georgia, LSU, maybe A&M, some other teams, you know, in there. So that's tough. Clemson will have top five, but nobody in the ACC is even close to a top 10.
No.
Same with Oklahoma or Texas. So like in the Pac-12. So those teams... Like, in those three conferences, if they don't go undefeated, they're done.
Right.
If they have one slip-up game, it's over and they're not making the playoffs. So, I think the best chance is Oklahoma has is to go undefeated.
For sure.
The Pac-12, I don't think...
Well, I think Oregon can still get in, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had a bad loss.
That's true. I mean, but they've got to be their only hope.
Yeah, and then it kind of depends on, and then the Big Ten, well,
you can... A lot going on in the Big Ten.
A lot going on. I could see a Big Ten team going in. Maybe there's maybe there's two Big Ten teams that go in, that could happen.
Yeah.
Two SEC, two Big Tens.
Yeah, think about if Georgia wins out, that means they would beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. Alabama won't get in with two losses.
No.
But you're also forgetting Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Undefeated, which I just, that drives me crazy, and I don't think we need to get into that. I think that's ridiculous.
Why not? This is the kind of year. Let them in.
That's stupid. What? No, that's...
Why are you such a bully to the small schools?
That's handing out a medal to everybody. Like, no, until you compete with the best, you don't deserve to play in the playoffs with the best. That's idiotic. That's stupid. No. You don't get rewarded for doing subpar work. Sorry. This is America. This isn't Canada.
Ooh, Canada. A little shot there.
Shots
of
fired.
Our neighbors up north, huh?
Sorry, Canada.
Man, they're so nice.
Yeah, it's nothing personal, but you guys know what I'm saying. But yeah, no, I think you've got Ohio State, Michigan that could get in. Ohio State's ranked above Michigan, and they have one loss. Michigan State's undefeated. Iowa. There's a lot of Big Ten teams out there.
Big matchup this weekend. Michigan State versus Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. That'll. I don't want to say knock out one of them, but if Michigan State loses,
I think it knocks out Michigan State. I don't think it would necessarily knock out Michigan. And the reason being is, let's say Michigan loses close to Michigan State, which they have before, right? They've had like a punt return on last second just something weird happens and it's a close game.
Right.
If Michigan wins out and beats Ohio State,
right,
you could make a case. Now, Michigan would not make it to the Big Ten Championship because they're in the same division of it.
You're assuming Michigan State wins out.
Right. So. Correct. I'm assuming Michigan State wins out, right?
Right.
You could argue that Michigan has one loss and then it'd be two.
You can't let somebody in the playoffs who doesn't play in their conference championship.
What? Who doesn't play in their
Who doesn't play? They don't have to win it, but they if you don't play in your conference championship game, you cannot go to the playoffs. No. Absolutely not.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely. If you can't win your own division, you definitely should not be a top four team in the country. If you're not even the best team in your division.
Your division is so tough, though.
But what if the best team in your division doesn't even go to the playoffs? No, that's, sorry. That's an automatic out for me. That's a no for me, dog.
That's a no.
Yep. Hey, also, sorry, sleeper, real quick. Ole Miss, your boy Lane, they're crushing it, man.
Yeah.
They're crushing it. They play Auburn this weekend, ranked team. They still have to play A&M, but they get A&M at home. I mean, they could win. They could go in with only one loss.
Yeah, a bad loss to Alabama. One
yeah,
loss.
They got smoked. And, I mean, Alabama would go in over them. But I don't know. Lane's doing Lane things, man.
Yeah, you know, and what's frustrating is that's kind of like the season that the Gators should be having.
Correct.
Right? They should be having a one loss right now.
Yep.
To Alabama. Maybe have two losses. Win out. You have two losses. You go to New Year's Six Bowl.
Right. I totally agree. Their two most recent losses are so inexcusable. It's so bad. The more I think about it, the more anger I get. That's why I can't think about it.
Yeah. Ooh, Penn State plays Ohio State this weekend.
Yeah.
That should be a pretty easy win for Ohio State.
Should be.
I mean, they're favored by 19
I would
points.
Love to see Penn State win, though.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, I might have to watch a little bit more Big Ten. If I'm not watching the SEC, I might have to watch more Big Ten because it's a little bit more competitive right now.
Yeah, and the Big Ten, historically, I always feel like this happens every year. They backload all of their big games. I don't know how that happens, but I just feel like it always happens that way.
Yeah.
But a lot of football to be played, a lot of good football. Big Ten, your games are still kind of boring, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, I think I'll have to watch it. Because, I mean, besides Ole Miss or the Gators or Alabama-Georgia game, like, I don't even care. There's not really that much competitiveness in the SEC. I mean, Alabama, it's Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, really. I mean, yes, that's true. But I don't know. There's still some pretty good teams. I mean, Kentucky is surprisingly good. The SEC West, you've got Auburn and Ole Miss and A&M. I mean, there's pretty good teams out there.
No, there's not.
Come on.
They're not that good.
Come on.
Like LSU Alabama next week, like that's not even.
LSU stinks.
Correct. Right? Are you excited about a Kentucky Mississippi State game?
No.
Or Auburn and A&M? Like we know A&M should destroy them.
But I don't know.
Auburn is just so inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, I would say Tennessee's probably one of the fun teams to watch. Their offense is not too bad.
The Tennessee wins looking better and better every week for us.
Yeah.
I must say.
I mean, they played well against Alabama the other day.
Yeah. Yep.
So, we'll see. All we know is, hey, the Gators got a chance. They always got a chance.
Always.
We're going to be there cheering for them. The stats say they're going to win, and that's what's going to happen.
Go Gators.
Song
groovy, right?
That is groovy. Who is that?
Blue the Tiger.
Blue the like D-A Tiger?
D-E Tiger.
Ooh.
Blue D Tiger.
Maybe
one
it's
word.
French?
I don't know. Maybe. Is that French?
It's not French.
That's fair. It might be French Canadian.
Oh. Which you like them. You just said Canadians.
Right.
You didn't say French Canadians.
Correct. French Canadians are passive lovers, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah.
Yes.
They're not passive
right.
lovers.
Right.
I mean, have you ever met a non-passive lover that's a French Canadian?
I've never met an aggressive, loving French Canadian.
Right.
Never in my life.
I attest to that. I have never either.
So there you go.
Yeah. I've facts never met facts. Any French Canadians, but still, both things can be true.
Yes, that's right. Facts are facts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You know, I just thought of something. If any of our listeners want to get a little more sponsorship, maybe wants to be a sponsor,
right?
You know, let us know, because we could really amp up our music, and you know, that'd be a perfect song to do a little ad read in the middle of.
Absolutely.
It. You know, we could really spice up our yeah, ad time with some really great songs. So you guys, let us know. Send us what you want to talk about, and we'll make it right.
We'll get as funky as you want.
Yeah. As funky as a French Canadian.
As an aggressive French Canadian.
Yeah, which could be like a unicorn.
I can only imagine it would be.
Right? I mean, right now, if somebody from Canada would give me a product to sell from French Canada, like a French Canadian would give me a product, we would be selling it hard right now. I bet we would double their sales overnight.
You know what we need to do? Road trip to Montreal, do a little recon, and do a pod from Montreal.
Yeah.
We could go to a hockey game.
Hockey. You know what? That would be awesome. I've never been to a hockey game, so why not just go to Montreal and that be the first hockey
yeah,
game?
Yeah, what? I totally agree. We've got to change this. We've got to go to a hockey game.
We do. I mean, speaking of, hockey just started.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get some sitters. Let's go down to T-Town. Go to a hockey game.
Back-to-back champs.
Back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? Tampa.
Tampa. I mean...
Hockey capital of the world.
Of the world?
Suck it, Canada.
Do you
it's in
think,
Tampa.
Do you even know the Lightning record right now?
The record? No. No, dude. NHL and NBA, no. If it's pre-Christmas, I want no part of it. Sorry. I'm out.
Well, the Lightning are winning right now 4-0 in the third period. There's only three periods, Kyle, in hockey.
Yes.
Against the Coyotes.
Okay.
So, just for a fun fact, can you tell me what state the Coyotes are?
Arizona.
Oh, very Phoenix. Nice. I had no idea.
What? Phoenix, man.
I don't
Come
know
on.
All the I don't know all the hockey teams.
Come
I know
on,
the Red
bro.
Wings, the
What about the Kraken?
The we Kraken.
Got the, we got the Kraken? Kraken now. Yeah, dude.
It's like the Florida Kraken?
Seattle oh. has a hockey team now. The Kraken.
I didn't know that.
Come on. We got
I know the Bruins, the Avalanche.
We got to get you to hockey. Hockey Live is phenomenal. It might be the best live regular season sporting event to watch.
The Seattle Kraken, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
That's pretty pretty exciting.
It, I guess if you're from Seattle. When you live in Florida, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, Seattle, yeah. So they got a football team, they got a baseball team, they've got a soccer team.
Yeah.
Hockey, they're really doing it.
Yeah, they lost the Supersonics, but I don't know. They might get another one here. Next couple years, we'll see.
They could. All right, so let's do a little rapid lightning round, yet not rapid lightning round.
Okay.
So we got a lot of things going on. Football's on right now, pro football. Real good game tonight. You got the Packers and the Cardinals, another Arizona team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not the Phoenix Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals.
While they play in Phoenix.
They do play in Phoenix. They're 7-0, undefeated.
Yeah. Big shocker.
I think they're the only undefeated team in the
NFL.
They
are the only undefeated team.
And the Packers are 6-1, only lost one. I think they lost their first game, and that's about it. So
correct.
This is pretty – these are – actually, there's probably four teams in the NFC that are probably the dominant ones, right?
Absolutely.
Cardinals, Packers, Bucks, and Rams. Do you think those are really the four contenders for the NFC?
No, I think you're leaving out Dallas, too.
You think Dallas? Oh, come on, Dallas.
Well, they're going to win their division, right? Because their division is so bad, they're going to get a good seed.
Okay.
Which means, you know, they're not going to have to play one of the best teams in the NFC. Do I think they're a contender with Tampa Bay and the Rams? No. Do I think they're a contender with Arizona and Green Bay? Yeah. Why not? Why wouldn't they be? I'm not buying into Green Bay and Arizona yet. Arizona's, we'll give it time. They're fun to watch though, man.
They are.
A lot of good playmakers. They're a ton of fun to watch. Kyler Murray's lighting it up.
Yeah, he does the Buddha celebration after each touchdown dance.
Yeah. Got DeAndre Hopkins, who's an absolute freak. No, I like watching him. The NFC is solid. All the division leaders, plus the Rams, with the, shocking that the Rams aren't leading the division. Still my Super Bowl pick, mind you, them and the Bills.
Okay.
But yeah, you flip over to the AFC, not quite as strong.
Yeah, a lot of 5-2 teams leading the division, right? And the Bills, I mean, have two losses. So really, everybody's got at least two losses in the AFC. The Chiefs are not a good team this year.
What is going on there?
4 losses, 3-4, under 500. You know, not sure what's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Buffalo has to be the favorite, right? Far and away.
Yeah.
AFC.
But you know who's making some noise is the Bengals, Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Yeah. He most certainly is. I'm a little surprised, but I like it. I like that. It's a tough division, and I love the fact that Cleveland is not living up to their hype.
Right.
Makes me happy. Baltimore's a fun team to watch, too, with Lamar Jackson back there. And Pittsburgh is still Pittsburgh. They'll finish in fourth place in that division, but they're still a decent team. They're not bad. Still 500.
Yeah, I mean, I still think the Ravens are a playoff team and
no doubt
could really still make some noise.
I would agree.
I mean, I could see them going to the AFC Championship game at this rate.
Yep.
Against the Bills, probably.
You know who I want to see, though, play the Bills? The AFC Championship game are the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
I like exciting teams. They're exciting to watch. Bunch of young quarterbacks playing right now. Their young quarterback's probably the best. Again, a lot of playmakers on offense. Give me some entertainment, you know? Fun to watch. Let's go, Chargers.
Yeah, you know, I think now's the time where, you know, college football is kind of halfway through, a little bit more than halfway through. Right, and you're kind of separating your Joes and your pros.
Right.
And then the NFL is really starting to pick up now, too, where it's about to get good, right?
Yeah.
About to get pretty good.
Yep.
So it's an exciting time. And basketball started, right? The Chicago Bulls, Billy Donovan's coaching them. They're undefeated this year.
Yep.
There's a big game going on. We're watching it. They're playing the New York Knicks. And looks like there's some kind of celebration because your boy, Joakim Noah, is there in Chicago.
They named him Chicago Bulls ambassador.
Really?
Fact. According to the Teletube.
Why wouldn't they, right?
What better ambassador for your team than Joakim Noah?
Especially with Billy Donovan as the coach.
Yeah.
I mean, natural fit there.
Absolutely.
And I just want to clarify, Bulls undefeated, I mean, they're 4-0. So, like, there's only 4 games.
They haven't lost.
But you can't
by definition.
You can't go 72-0 if you don't start off 4-0.
By definition, they're undefeated.
Those are just stats.
And I think it's 82-0. I think it's 82 games.
Not 72?
I think it's 82.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
You're probably right. 70, there's a plus or minus 10. 72 plus or minus 10.
Yeah, I think 72 was the record the Bulls had for most wins until the
Warriors won 73 or something like
right,
that.
Right, yep.
But they did not win the NBA championship.
That is a fact. Kevin Durant got hurt. A lot of injuries.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, too early. I understand you don't want to talk about NBA basketball too early right now, or hockey. But what about college basketball? That's right around the corner.
It is. It's starting in, what, 2 weeks or something, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, very soon.
Really, first or second week of November. So, yeah, I think it's 2 weeks.
So, the Gonzaga's the preseason number one.
Which correct.
Isn't shocking. They probably should be. But the question I have for you, Juan, is obviously our Florida Gators and your boy, Mike White.
Mike White.
What are the expectations this year? As a casual fan, I want to know what your expectations are and what Mike White can do to keep his job, or is it time to move on?
I don't know. I'm at a spot with the basketball team of just apathy.
Right.
Right. Which is not a good place to be. There had a lot of coaching change over the off season for the basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
So they got some new guys in there. Got a lot of good players in on paper, right? A lot of transfer portal.
Via transfer.
Transfer portal was good. They've right. got a couple recruits. They got one good recruit from high school, and then for next year, they've got some other guys.
Right.
You know, that are ramping up. So that's good, but it's never, I mean, they had good recruits last year and a couple years, and it's just the development of them, right? So that's more what I'm trying to see. What's the identity? What are they? So I'm really apathetic about it, but my expectation is go to the Sweet 16. The same as last year, right? Make it out of the first weekend of March Madness, go to the Sweet 16. Number one, gotta make the tournament, right? Number one,
right.
I need to see them make the tournament. I want to cheer on the Gators in March Madness. Next small goal, win the first game. Make it to the tournament and win your first game.
Right.
And then get to the Sweet 16 minimum. After that, it's just a crapshoot.
Okay, so I think you're putting a little too softly, though, because I think you need to draw hard lines in the sand, and you say, if you're not making the tournament, you're gone. I'm sorry. That's enough of this. We at UF, you strive for, I don't want to say perfection, but pretty close to it. You want to be the best. If you're not making the tournament after all this time, you really haven't done much up to this point, sorry, it's time to move on.
Is this year 5, 6 for him?
I think it's
6.
It's at least 6.
I think it's year 6.
So you have nothing. Your first year was your best year, and that wasn't even with your players. So he's shown that he really hasn't developed anybody. I will say this will be his most challenging year by far because of the transfers. So you get a little bit of a pass there, but that's your time to show how good of a coach you are. Can you bring a team together? Can you develop players? Can you make it work? I think it's a true test of his coaching abilities. And it's not a bunch of young guys, right? It's not a bunch of, you know, freshmen that he's bringing in. So you can't give us the same crap you give us every year about freshmen and the social media and the managing expectations and the trying to battle the, you know, all that stuff, all the outside noise. Like, no, these are players who have been through this. They've played in the collegiate level. They know what to expect. No more excuses. Make it work.
So your stance is Sweet 16 or get rid of him. Great guy,
no,
get rid
tournament,
of him.
Tournament and get rid of it's. So you can't.
So if they don't make the tournament, Mike White's
gone,
gotta go.
Gone.
If they do make it.
It depends. So it's one of those things where it depends on if you, you know, have a phenomenal regular season, dominate the SEC, and you lose in some crap game in the round of 32, what, I mean, would I be mad? Yeah, but weird stuff happens. But if you don't make the tournament, that's your resume over the course of an entire season. Absolutely, you're gone. I don't want to say...
So he's only missed the tournament, I think, what, his first year, and made it every single year after that.
So you're one of the top 68 programs in the country? That, I mean, think about that. So what, like, people make it sound like making the tournament is some achievement. That's not an achievement. Making the tournament and being a top 68 team in the country is an achievement? No. That's
fired
not,
up.
Yeah, well, that's stupid.
People, well, but you like, just said he has to make the tournament at least to keep the job.
I'm saying if he doesn't make the tournament, you fire him. There's no excuse.
Because he is, like, he coached a team that's worse than the 68th, not one of the best 68 teams in the nation.
Yes. That's and you're in a Power 5.
But that's conference. A pretty low barrier for, like, a Florida thing.
I'm saying that's a given. Yeah. I'm not saying, look, if they lose in the first round and they have a mediocre year, you kind of have to fill out the year, though, is my whole point. Like, it's hard to say right here.
What if they have 20 wins, make the tournament somehow because they had one good win or whatever, and make the tournament and then lose first round?
I think you need to see some success this year in the postseason. I'm not sure losing first round. I'd be pretty hard pressed to say you don't get rid. I think you need to see, because I'm assuming that if you're losing the first round, you're a low seed playing a better team, right?
Right.
Now, if he goes in as a 3 seed and loses, you.
What about an 8 and 9? You know.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's just so mediocre. That's just so part. Like, we've seen that. We know how the story. Like, nobody wants. Who cares? That doesn't mean anything.
So, you know, I blocked out a lot of last year's anger or frustration. Not really anger, just frustration on the Gator basketball team.
Right.
Because last year was my make or break season. He's got to make it to the Sweet 16 or bust. I think my biggest thing last year was there was just no identity. And we were in year 5, whatever it was, 4 or 5, and you just didn't feel like you had identity, and you felt that players got worse under his tenure.
Yes.
And that he was trying to, similar, I guess you could say, not similar to the football coach, but he was trying to play his style and his way no matter what, even if his players were a different style and played better in a different way.
Right.
And I that's just bad coaching to me, right? As a coach, as a leader, you have to find out what works for your team and put them in the best position to succeed, whether or not it's your philosophy or not.
It's the antithesis of Mullen, right, in that aspect.
So for in that sense, and granted, you can get by with the excuse of I don't, we'll take Mullen in this, right? I don't want to be a throwing team. I want to be a running team. That's my philosophy. That's what I like to do.
Right.
But if your players and your skill set is throwing the ball all the time, you have to adjust it. You can't be hard-headed and say, I'm going to stick with the running.
Right.
When you know it's not working.
Yes.
And well, I still give Mullen credit for that because he did that with Kyle Trask, where he just abandoned the run and just was the number one passing offense in the nation.
Right.
And now he's got the number 3 rushing offense. You know, that's his style. That's what he wants to do. So I give credit for that. Mike White was the opposite, like you're saying. Right, he recruits these big guys, just the best 5-star or 4-star for a position, but wants to still play very fast.
Right.
When they should have slowed it down, or vice versa of the people. And so that's what I want to see. I want to see an identity. And you can, like I said, you can get away with that if it's your first or second year because you're like, I still don't have my guys, I don't have my team with it. But in year 5, year 6 of the program, you've got your guys, you've hopefully built a culture already of what you want to do, and you recruit your guys to your system, let's see what you want to do.
Yep.
Unless the issue is he recruits the best player at the best position that he needs to fill and then just tries to make them all gel together.
Right.
Which, if you're going to do that, you got to change your offense every single year.
Yeah, he just has yet to prove that he can take a decent team or even a good team and make something of them. He can bring in players, which we've seen, but now you got to do something with it. And I'm excited this year because they've got a good non-conference schedule. Play a couple really good games. You know, you've got FSU, who's ranked. You play at Oklahoma. You play at Maryland, who's ranked. And the SEC is pretty strong again. There's going to be plenty of ranked teams. So my point is there's going to be plenty of opportunity for him to have some big wins, have some big moments, to do something with this team. That's what I want. I want to see some progress. And I want to see some, you know, you have a bunch of these good players. Let's do something with them. You know, don't just bring them here. Bringing them here doesn't do any good. You can't win with them.
Yeah. I want to see progress, right? I want to see a team get better week by week, month by month, towards the end of the season, and get better. Usually with his teams are you're good in the beginning, have a lull, then maybe good again, and then bad again, or whatever roller coaster
right. There
is. There's never consistency in his team. And right. That's all I'm looking for. Consistency of this is who we are and we're improving.
Right, right.
And we're peaking at the right time. They always peak at the wrong time and then just spiral down.
Correct. Unwilling to adjust. Florida sports is kind of frustrating right now, huh?
It is.
But Mike White, you can change that for us. You can change it. The football team, it is what it is at this point. It's time to move on. Let's turn the page. They're going to turn the page. It's going to be a different year next year, but you could save us. Basketball can save us. You can be the savior.
Are you going to go to the... Are you going to hear him speak this year, Mike White? Are you going to go to one of those tip-off clubs?
No, he ended it. Which, don't even get me started on that. Because that's a completely different aspect that I feel is... That's another reason I despise him. Despise him. That's a strong word. That I started to...
Turn.
Yeah. That was a big turning point. When you start ignoring your biggest supporters, the guys who are going to your games and watching every game.
Buying season tickets, boosters.
Right. You can't even show up and talk for 30 minutes to these people. Like, get out of here. And you want our support? Stop it. Stop it. No.
Yeah, he's alienating himself from the fans, huh?
Yes, that absolutely he
so,
has.
So, I mean, that's
he's done this to himself.
I mean, that's a rough place to be in, right? Because now your only chance is your fans are against you. You just have to win. If you don't win, it's bad.
Winning cures everything.
Yeah, and losing is going to put a lot of fire behind him.
But that's all self-inflicted.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, that's Coach White. Listen, that's on you, bro.
That's on you. All right. So, kind of don't have much else here. You know, it's really football dominated. The other sports are a little bit, you know, they're starting to come in. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff right now happening. Right. But coming. So, I think we'll do one lightning round question for you.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. So what we got now is, I'll check you this. Jameis Winston going back, playing with the Saints. They're not doing bad, right?
Yeah.
They're playing the Bucks this week. He's the starter, finally.
Yeah.
I mean, they played the Bucks last year. They saw each other. But they're playing the Bucks against Tom Brady. Do you think there's any chance they win?
No. I think they get boat raced. Sorry, Jameis just isn't. He's not the answer. The Saints are fine. They're, you know, they're a 500 team. That's what they are, but they're not the Bucks. The Bucks have Brady. And Gronk's back this week, by the way.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yep, so he's going to play. They don't stand a chance.
Okay. No.
My last quick question for you. This past week, we always like to get in a little bit of golf. Played in Japan, PGA Tour.
Yep.
Zozo Championship. And Hideki wins.
Yeah.
Japanese player winning in Japan, which has to be, you know, I don't think we can totally understand that pressure involved. It's not as much as me in the playoffs as the member guest, but it's close. Yeah, so right. I can relate.
Yeah.
But huge pressure. He comes up big, comes from behind to win. That's pretty awesome. I'm normally not a Hideki fan. I was pretty happy for him.
I mean, great year, right?
Yeah.
Won the Masters and then goes back to his country and wins.
I can't. Two wins in 2021. And when you think about it for him, those are probably the two biggest wins he could have.
Yeah.
Well, I guess any other major would be bigger than the Zozo. But you would have to assume a PGA sanctioned event in your country, especially
Japan. You're a foreigner. He's not living in Japan or anything. So he goes back to the tournament after all the hype and then just wins it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I was happy for him. It was good to see.
All right. So I got one more question for you. I forgot to bring up. Braves, we talked about it. They're in the World Series. They're playing the Astros. We talked about it. We said we'd love to see the Braves win.
Right.
Series is 1-1. They lost their best pitcher, Charlie Morton, in the first game.
Yep.
Do you still think, right, not that you what you want, I need an unbiased opinion here, right? Do you still think or like the Braves to win?
So, yeah, first of all, I can't believe we haven't talked about this. I love the fact that the Braves are in. So awesome.
Yeah.
And Charlie Morton threw 16 pitches with a broken leg.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty intense. I don't care how broken it is. Like, that's pretty intense. Yeah. And I was watching. When it happened,
he ran and got the ball and, like, was still walking around. And then pitched 16.
Yeah, he clearly knew it was not a good situation. But that was awesome. Do I think the Braves are going to win? In my deepest...
Your heart and your mind, what do they tell you?
My heart tells me yes. My mind tells me no. I don't know. They've been so hot the second half of the year, though. That's the hope that I'm holding on to.
Yeah.
Second half of the year, the playoffs, they've been hot. They've been playing well. No, I don't know if anybody's played better than them. The second half.
No, they haven't.
So if they keep it going, yeah, they can win. If I was to bet money on it, though, I think I'd take Houston in six. And it pains me to say that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm just not sure, right? I don't know about their pitching, who they have to go left. So it's going to be a lot of bullpen games. And, it's just going to be, it won't be easy for them to win, but I do hope they do win. But I'm with you. I'd take the Astros.
Ugh, I hate it.
The cheaters.
Yeah. And I've got buddies and, you know, from Atlanta, one that lives in Houston, the banter back and forth is fantastic. Also, is that a fact that PETA is saying they don't want it to be called a bullpen anymore?
Oh, I did not know that.
And called it an arm pin?
Oh, I've not heard that.
I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's true, just stop it.
You know, also today, Facebook changed their name.
Really?
Yes. The company Facebook is no longer Facebook. They are called Meta. M-E-T-A. Meta.
Is that for real?
That is 100% for real. Look it up in the interweb.
It's because they're getting smoked right now in the PR front.
Yeah, could be.
Facebook's taking a couple hits recently.
Well, we shall refer them now as Meta.
Meta. Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing.
That's stupid. Facebook, stop it. Are you on Facebook?
No.
I'm not either. Listener, if you're on Facebook, just get off. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah. Meta yourself out.
Meta out.
All right. That's all the time we got. Thanks, everybody. We will try to do better next time like we always do.
Hard to, but we'll try.
We'll try.